time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are most assuredly having an early spring. Looking at the USA National Phenology Network's website and putting in the state of Minnesota, they have, by just on the basis of growing degree days, they have the 30-year average, and they have last year, and they have this year. And last year, we were about 8 days behind the 30-year average this time of year, and this year, we are 20 days ahead of the 30-year average. So we are definitely experiencing an early spring. And I think if you were listening earlier this morning, you heard the kids talking about some of the signs of spring that they're running into way down south in Northfield, Minnesota. The kids down there are seeing flocks of robins. Chad Caddett's class in Little Falls reports robins in that area. We saw and heard a robin in the Long Lake Conservation Center over the weekend. The earliest I have ever seen a robin here in Grand Rapids was in the year 2000 when I saw my first robin on the 4th of March. The latest that I ever saw a robin was in 2013 when I saw my first robin of the year on April 20th. So quite a range there, but this year it's going to be closer to the front of that list than the back of that list. We'll certainly be probably in the top five if those robins from Long Lake and from Little Falls can make it north here in the next 5 days or so. I would expect that many of you will, maybe some of you in Bemidji or in Grand Rapids, maybe over east in Hibbing, maybe you've seen a robin already, but it will certainly be very soon. And I would expect, given a quick look at the weather out over the next 10 days, that sometime probably before I come back here next week, that robins will be back in the Grand Rapids area. That's my supposition. Whether or not that bears out, we'll have to see. Among some early arrivals that I did see in the bird world, yesterday I saw my first red-tailed hawk. Now, that yesterday was March 4th. The average date for the first red-tailed hawks is the 28th of March. So that puts us at 24 days, was it 3.5 weeks ahead of average, which is a pretty big swing. I also heard yesterday morning the first call of the sandhill crane. And that typically occurs on April 8th. And so both of those events are markedly earlier than they would normally be in, say, an average year. So keep your ears open for that unusual call of the sandhill crane. And, of course, watch for the red tail. This red tail came along yesterday. I was out on my phenology walk. I was kind of looking at these pussy willows and had my binoculars with me, and all of a sudden I noticed this bird up overhead, and I quickly grabbed binoculars, threw them up to my eyes, tipped myself backwards, and the bird was almost straight over my head. I was arched back like a cheap bow, and I was staring straight up into the sky at this very light. If you're not familiar with the red tail, they have broad wings and a wide tail like a ruffed grouse. The underside of the bird is largely white, very pale at any rate. And the sun shining down from above gave the tail, which is white from below, but it gave it this sort of salmon color. Just you could tell that there was red above. And, of course, the red tail gets its name from its red tail. I hope that you have a chance to see one this time of year. They're definitely moving into the area. Ruffed grouse. I jumped a couple of ruffed grouse yesterday, just about scared a few years off my life. They were about 5 feet away from me in the middle of a raspberry thicket. just hanging out down in the bottom of the raspberry canes. And I can't imagine what they were doing there other than just chatting about what an early spring we're having. I don't know for sure, but they certainly surprised me when they got up because they were right. I was right on top of them. Also yesterday, trumpeter swans. The same time I heard the sandhill cranes, the trumpeter swans were calling and kind of swinging in toward Crooked Lake. Lots of trumpeter swans in the area right now. They're coming back from wherever it is they spent the winter. They don't truly migrate. Like, they don't get up and fly to Alabama or someplace like that. They move around and look for open water. And where they can find open water and decent food sources, they're going to spend the winter. So it seems like all winter long, there are reports of trumpeter swans. And so that's nothing unusual. But they are definitely coming back to the lakes where they were born or where they have nested. And they're sitting on the ice and they're hanging out waiting for the ice to go out. And I expect a pretty early ice out this year. To that end, I have been doing the experiment that John Downing suggested, where you take the average temperature for each day and subtract 32 from that number. And anytime that number is positive, you add that positive number. And when that column of positive numbers reaches 220, the ice should be out of your lake. I am at 18 right now. I started February 15th, and I will be keeping track. It's amazing how quickly some of those numbers can pile up. And so I will let you know how that works out. Last year, I was a little bit on the long side, but right at the end last year, I was getting like 12, 14 points a day. So I was at 200, and 3 days later, I was at 227. And so I kind of leaped past it, but the ice went out for me at 227. So if you're curious about that, we will put up the formula on our website and you can check it out and maybe work it out at your place. Goldfinch is on the feeder. Pine siskins still come into the feeder. A few redpolls are still around the area. I saw a flock of snow buntings down along the Mississippi River south of Grand Rapids. Snow buntings, average first or last sighting of the spring is usually about this time of year, March 1st. The bald eagle is brooding eggs, and she was on the nest on March 1st, and that's a week ahead of average. Average time for her to be on the nest at my house is April 8th. March 8th. March 1st, I was looking at the nest and I could see something that was moving at the upper edge of the nest. And I got the spotting scope out and I could see the wind was ruffling the feathers off the back of the bird, and so I knew she was in there. And last night I checked again. I check every couple of days just to make sure, and she was definitely hunkered down in there. I happened to be looking through the scope and she stood up and kind of rearranged the egg. You could see her rolling something or playing with something below her and then settling back in. So she's definitely brooding. And, of course, I cross my fingers and hope that this will be the year that she will raise another chick or two up there in her beautiful nest. Among the plants I've been watching, and just to let you know, silver maples are blooming in the Twin Cities area. This is remarkably early. You probably heard the students from Northfield talking about it, and I think the kids from Chad Caddett's class in Little Falls might have had maples breaking bud. Nothing of the sort at my house. They're still hard and tight, both silver maple and red maple. Average date for silver maple flowers is April 7th. I would fully expect that sometime in the next 2 weeks, if the weather continues to be as mild as it is right now, we will probably see silver maples blooming My silver maple has been dripping sap onto the deck steadily. While I was in the Long Lake Conservation Center, I was hiking with a group of people, and we noticed that the maple, a sugar maple there, was dripping sap onto some, well, just dripping out of the tree and onto some leaves. And I picked up one of the leaves and stuck my finger in it and tasted it, and it was really sweet. And just like a group of kids, they all stuck their fingers in the leaf and tasted it. And for most of them, they've tasted the sugar. One or two did not, and I don't know why they didn't, because it was pretty obvious to me that there was a lot of sugar in that silver maple, or in that maple sap. So if you find some maples dripping sap, why, don't be too surprised. I think there are people out there who are gathering sap right now and are perhaps boiling syrup. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that were the case. My walk through the woods, I noticed the birch buds are green or getting green. Now, they haven't broken bud yet, but on the paper birch, the leaf buds get quite green before they crack open. And this is something that has recently occurred. So we're not too far away from seeing birch buds breaking. Let's see what else happened. The elderberry buds are swelling, and they are getting close to breaking open. That should be happening pretty soon. Let's see. Speckled alders they're not doing much. The tag alder catkins, the speckled alder catkins, typically are somewhere between an inch and maybe an inch and a half long this time of year, and they are still kind of right in that range, so I'm not seeing much there. April 3rd is my average date for speckled alder catkins to yield pollen. I would think that this year it will probably be only another week or two before we see speckled alder catkins yielding pollen. So sometime around the middle of this month, I would expect to see that. There's a little plant out there called fly honeysuckle. And fly honeysuckle is a little shrub. It's not that red flower you're thinking of. That's columbine. But the fly honeysuckle has twin yellow flowers. And they emerge almost simultaneous with the leaf. The elderberry does the same thing. When the bud opens, there's going to be a leaf coming out, and right beneath it is going to be a flower. The same thing is true of the fly honeysuckle. I've been watching mine for 3 or 4 weeks now, and the buds have been kind of tight. But this past week, or when I looked at them yesterday, they were swollen, nearly double the size that they have been. So again, I would expect fly honeysuckle to be in at least breaking bud fairly soon. The 21st of April is the first flowers for the fly honeysuckle, but this year I would expect that we will beat that. I think by the end of March we'll probably have that. Juneberry buds are sort of lined with these thin, tiny, fine white hairs, and those hairs are present throughout most of the winter, but this time of year they begin to extend and sort of become more erect and are easier to see. So if you're out looking at your Juneberries, look for those white hairs. That will probably become more developed as time goes by. I expect that they will also be early again this year. Balsam fir, the buds, the new leaf buds, the new shoots that are going to come off the ends of the balsam fir are swelling. They're getting considerably bigger than they were just a week ago. Trailing arbutus is bright green. It's bright green where you've protected it, because if it's not protected, the deer have probably already found it and eaten it. And I was looking at the trailing arbutus at my house, and boy, you can see it from 50 feet away. You just are looking through the woods, and you'll see this 3-foot by 3-foot patch of bright green leaves on the ground, and it's trailing arbutus. This is a good time of year. if you wonder if you have trailing arbutus, this is a good time of year to go out looking for it, because if the deer haven't found it, the leaves are going to be spectacularly green right now. Bunchberry, the little dogwood plant that grows right down at ground level, has those bright red berries on it in the summer. It is purple right now, or burgundy. It's quite delightfully colored and added a nice little color punch to the forest floor as I was walking along. And of course, the couple of species of carex, of sedge grasses, are showing a lot of color, a lot of green right now. So you'll be tripping amongst those as well as you walk along. And finally, this week, my co-host, Jennifer, found a woolly bear caterpillar. And they are certainly active this time of year. They're getting out and beginning their life of transformation. They'll crawl around as a caterpillar. They overwinter as a caterpillar, and they'll crawl around as a caterpillar. And then one day they'll kind of start shedding their hairs, and they'll use those hairs and some other silk that they produce, and they'll weave a cocoon and transfer themselves into a moth. I think it's called the tiger moth, if I'm not mistaken. But check out the woolly bear caterpillars as you're out wandering around. It might be a pretty interesting day for you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, thank you for tuning in. And if you have observations you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. And we did hear from one of our listeners up in the Ely area, who sent us a picture of a nice young buck with a full set of antlers. Probably one of those that didn't have a chance to breed last fall and decided to keep his antlers a little longer than some of the more successful ones. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in.
You can find more Phenology at kaxe.org. Also there, you can sign up for the Season Watch newsletter that comes out usually either Friday evening or Saturday morning, and that's a plethora of information right there.
Yeah, that's a nice bit of work that our coordinator does, Charlie Mitchell, responsible for all of that hard work, and we certainly appreciate the work that she's been doing for us.
And someone just texted, I missed when John gave the calculation for forecasting ice out dates. Is this info posted somewhere? We will get that in this week's Phenology report, which will hit our website in the next day or two.
Yep.
So be on the watch for that at kaxe.org.
Yeah. We'll have I'll have some mathematician put it into a form that is understandable to other mathematicians, but it's pretty simple. So yeah, it's something easy to do, and it's kind of fun. If you live on a lake, you can do it right at your own house, and you can have a pretty accurate representation. Well, I guess you will bring proof to its accuracy. So, yeah, it'll be fun to hear from you. Once we get that posted, if you do decide to do this, please make your reports back so that we know how accurate the formula is. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.